Chitty chitty bang bang. Come on.
In every family, there's that one uncle, cousin, or aunt that just ain't right. But for whatever reason, you love them anyway. It's the family.
A son does not want to hear his mother say, skeet, skeet.
It's the family.
Twerking is not a talent, all right? Stripping is not a career.
Wow. It is not.
The Family Radio Podcast.
Yeah, don't have your kids cussing on the internet, but do have your kids dancing on the internet. Ooh, kill them. Kill them. Kill them.
The Family Radio Podcast.
You're going too far. No such place.
Oh!
I want to go to the abyss! Never!
The Family Radio Podcast with T-Boogie, Gene.com, and Chill Will.
It's the family.
Hey, hey, it's T-Boogie.
Gene.com in the streets.
And we are back. Another episode, Family 190. Episode 190. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Family Radio. Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
We're good. Who are you, though?
Oh, I'm forgetting to introduce myself. Chill Will is here. Chill Will is here. And I think I'm just excited because we got a good show. We're going to be talking to Jacksonville City Council District 14 Representative Rockman Johnson. Of course, part of the family. He's been on our podcast before. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about with him. He's been in office almost a year. Then we definitely got to talk about this election that's coming up. Joe Biden, Donald Trump. We've seen this before. And last year, and last time it happened, Trump thought he was robbed. So,
Correct. Man, oh man.
But let's also not forget that we have local elections coming up, and we talk about that too, because we got two major issues on the ballot this year.
We do.
Yeah, and not only that, I hope Rockman can spit some game as what we as blacks need to know about this voting process.
Exactly. So we got our own political advisor that we're going to talk to a little bit later.
I was going to say, let's not forget our political advisor also has an affiliation with said Nickelodeon.
Oh, Nickelodeon. We definitely going to talk about that too.
I have questions. You know, Boog going to ask the hard questions. Yeah. I got questions.
We definitely going to talk about that whole Nickelodeon thing too. Did Dan Snyder talk to Rockman? We don't know, but we're going to find out.
We're
going to find out.
We're going to find out. We're going to talk about all of that coming up.
Did he get swallowed?
Boog, you are out of fucking control. You are out of
early. It's the tank top and the Easter decorations in the back. We're in for a show.
Yes, we are. We might need to do some drug testing on here. Boog, you might have to.
I fail.
Look, the only reason why I ain't gonna fail because I got this government clearance. That's all. That's why I can't afford my test.
You gotta have that.
You can't mess the bag up, Chill.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are out of control, man. Out of control. Hey, let's I see Rockman is here. He's on. We're gonna click over to him in 1 second. Once again, thanks, family. Episode 190. Let's go talk to Rockman right now. All right, as we said, we have not only a friend of the family, he part of the family anyway. Rockman Johnson.
He's been part of the family.
That's right.
He's been part of the family.
Jacksonville City Council District 14, Rockman Johnson has joined us this morning. What it do, sir. Rock?
It's so good to be back in the house with not just the family, my family.
That's right.
I mean,
yes.
This is my office. This is it's a little different, a little eclectic. I don't have a lot of war. It's more art. I wanted to be kind of homeless, so folk come by, and it's so interesting. They're like, wow, why do you have all this stuff in your office? I'm like, why not?
But wait a minute. What is that over your shoulder? Is your chair white? Is that white Corinthian leather you sitting? Oh, look, that's a throne. That's a throne. Look, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, hold on. Hold on, Chill. You don't even see the Kappa color references behind him. Is cream.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chill. That's right. That is cream. I'm sorry.
The crimson behind him from the curtains. Look at that accent right there. That's look like a clock back there. Did you see the look? You get no zoom in on it. Zoom in. We want it all, Chill. Look at that in the back. Look at the wall.
I'm just hold it.
There you go.
I'm gonna just slightly just give us a little something.
Go ahead,
little
something. Go ahead.
No, I'm gonna tell you, the office is in all white, and I tell you, it's one of the reasons, and everything I think we have to do is strategic in this space. But one of the reasons why I wanted this office to be in white is because I wanted to make sure I was starting out with purity. I mean, the older I get, I really am into strategy. And yeah, of course, I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. I got some good friends at Q's and Alphas and all the D9 organizations. But let me tell you, and I know we haven't started into the interview, but I want to tell you this. While I love Kappa, when I came onto this council, there was, as most folk are in places, there were some strategic dollars that we could use. I could have given all of those funds to Kappa Alpha Psi. What I did was I took the funds and gave them to every one of the D9 organizations.
Okay.
Because they were already doing the work in the community. So it's, I could have kept it. We could have just said, hey. But that's not how we grow community and what we're trying to do. So real talk.
Wow.
That's why we have you here.
My man.
Rockman, I got to take my hat off, man. You have been doing great work since you've been in it. It's been right at a year, a little bit over a year.
Just under a year, actually.
Just under a year,
so far. I took office July 1. We won in May. Took some time to go through transition. So July 1, we'll make the 1 year mark. And we've had some, when I look back on it, I was just telling our team in the office, I have a wonderful chief of staff, and I was talking to him as we looked through some of the accomplishments that we've made. Things are different. And I got to tell you this, man. I am a Black Democrat. I live in a white Republican area.
Wow.
The reason I bring that up is because I am under no impression that I may or may not be challenged when it comes time for re-election, if that's what I'm supposed to do, run for re-election. But what I want to be able to do is, whether I'm here for 4 years or 8 years, when I walk away, I want to be able to say, here are things that are tangible that were done. So that's what I'm putting in. This is supposed to be a part-time job. It has become a triple-time job because I understand what the necessities are, and I'm working toward it.
Yeah.
I see you doing a whole lot in the community. Part-time job, no, you are correct. You are definitely out there. You're doing things. I see you with your sleeves rolled up. You're doing physical things to enhance your area, your district.
And one of the things that people don't understand, and like all of us have had relationships, you and I, I've known everybody on this show for decades.
20 plus years.
Yeah, 20 plus years. We go way, way back. But I will tell you that I am as I tell people all the time, yes, I am the council member for District 14. But at the end of the day, when I sit on that dais of 19 people, I am a city council member for Jacksonville, which means I don't care if you live at the beach or Baldwin or wherever, the decisions that we make affects everyone. So while I'm pushing for my district, I also am pushing to push Duval forward.
Awesome. See, I appreciate that because they give me so much flack about me being out here at the beaches.
I mean, it's because it's a dual thing. I'm both a city councilman as well as a county commissioner.
A community activist.
Well, and a county commissioner. Think about it. We're one of the only governments in the state that runs like we do. But the consolidated city of Jacksonville means that we are making city decisions and county decisions, which it makes things easier, but it's a whole lot more because we are the largest county in the state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To echo ahead, what you said, Rockman, I wanted to say that I've seen you on site in other districts supporting them. Yes. So I've seen it. I've seen it. No matter whatever the crisis is, if it's not your district, you are there. I see you physically there.
I didn't say anything about it, and I'm a little emotional about this moment, man. But let me tell you, I didn't really talk about it. But the day of the shooting,
Dollar General
on Kings Road, I'm in this space. So what I understood that day, I hosted with the Marsha Fudge, who's now retiring, but with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, they were having what's called a house party. And it was a great way to push African-American home ownership. And so they were having these house party events all around the country. And so I was able to host the one here in Jacksonville. We were able to get people qualified for mortgages, get them mortgage assistance for those people that may not qualify straight up. Well, let me, and in the words, because I know one of us is a PK on this phone, so let me tell you how the Lord works. We were supposed to
come
be.
Come on in here.
Look, we were supposed to be, we meaning this event, I reached out, and at the time I was still a professor. It was supposed to be an event at Edward Waters that day. There were about 300 to 400 people at this event, and we were supposed to, again, be on campus. But a pipe burst. The bursting of the pipe caused the air to go out. It was a summer day. It was hot as all get out. So we this happened on a Wednesday, like a Wednesday, Thursday that the pipe burst. So we had, and the event was going to be on a Saturday. We had 48 hours to try to create the event at another site. Well, FSCJ was a mile down the road. We were able to pull it together, get all the information out, and move the event down because we couldn't have it at Edward Waters. So we're having the event. At the time the shooting was happening, my phone starts ringing, right? JFRD is calling me. JSO is calling me. Like, everybody's calling my phone. Well, I was on stage. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I called. They were frantic. Where are you? We're trying to get to you. And I'm like, I'm here. Well, what I didn't realize that my public schedule had that I would be on campus.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
They were under the impression that
you were there.
Yeah. So myself, Councilwoman Pittman, former Congresswoman Brown was there, the director of HUD, like a lot of people were there trying to get people in houses. We didn't know what was going on. By the time I got back to the office, that's what we learned. And when we got to the briefing, which, you know, I'm sharing some stuff, kind of intimate stuff, but when I got to the briefing that afternoon before we did the press conference, I was told that when the computer of that young man was
accessed,
that's where he was coming, and that's where we were supposed to be. And so, if not but for the grace of God, we would be having a very different
conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I think that shooting affect all of us that have lived on the north side, because when it happened, I was like, I just passed by that place day before yesterday.
Absolutely.
Like you Rock, you on the EWC campus, you're right down the street from it. It's every on day. King's Road is a vital road going into the north. Like that's one of the veins of the city. Like I've passed by that place, and for that to happen there, that shooting, that thing got to me, man.
All we could really do, I went down there as soon as we found out Councilwoman Pittman was in the office as well. So we ended up riding together over there. And when I got there, you know, the media was running up. I couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
It was like we just looked at each other, like the people. I didn't go to the cameras. The people, man. I stood in King's Road. I just stood in the middle of King's Road.
Yeah.
And it's no, you know, some of the other political leadership on other parties, and I don't ideologically agree, but it was that moment when I saw the sheriff coming out of the building, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we couldn't even talk.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me, shook his head. There was no words. You know the energy.
Yeah.
And I knew that no one was there. And I remember the one of the victims, there was one of the kids that were there. She came up to me and she was like, my son was in there. And I just need to know he's okay. Well, I knew, but I couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
All I could do, just grabbed me and just hugged me, man. And all I could do was stand in the middle of King's Road. I couldn't even cry at that time. So I guess that's why it's hitting me now. But man, let me tell you, all I did was stood in the middle of King's Road and we just held hands and prayed. I mean, what can you do at that point?
Yeah.
But I tell you, you're right. Like anytime there's a responsibility, we jokingly say, I'm so Duval. And you know, come on, I spent my formative years on the radio with all of you guys. I was on the radio 30 years, which is weird. But 30 years ago.
Very weird. That was
my job. On the radio. But I love, when I tell you, I've lived other places. I've worked in other industries, as you know. I've been, you know, on TV as a news anchor, reporter, back in radio.
You know we're going to talk about that Nickelodeon stint.
But this?
Yeah.
There is something about this space, and you all know it.
Yeah.
You all know the energy of being here. There's something about here, and I think that, I, you know, sometimes I bristle when I hear people say, oh, God put me here and I'm supposed to be doing this. I really believe that, you know, there's a reason for me doing this now. Because this was not on the, dude, I, as you know, Will, we talk.
We had that conversation. I was going to ask you about that because before you ran, you said, like, I got to do it. Like, this is like all the moons are aligned for me to do this. And I said, you're right. I was like, it looks like this is the best thing for you to do. So,
and it wasn't the plan though. Yeah. I'll tell you, years ago, y'all remember G Wiz?
Yeah.
G was like PD at one of the stations, right? So G goes, you know, you're supposed to be something. You know, you're supposed to be the mayor. You're supposed to be on council. I was like, dude, go run the radio station. Leave me alone. Like, stop playing. Because at the time, I think I was living out of town and I wanted to come back home.
Yeah.
It's before my mom got sick. And I said, I called G or something. He was like, nah, that's not. He was like, I mean, you're good. You know, really good at what you do, but you're supposed to be doing such and such and such. And I'm like, how are you going to tell me what I'm supposed to do in my life?
Wow.
What I will say, though, is everything I've done, and I've heard Nat Glover say this a million times, but I get it. Nat would always say to me, everything I've done led up to this moment, and it's prepared me for this moment. I get it. That's what this moment is.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, look, Rockman, we have an election coming this year. People act like they don't know that. So you are our political person to talk to. Now,
anytime.
Look, I'm always available to this election has just, I don't know what's going on with the election process right now. Of course, we're back down to Joe Biden, Donald Trump again against each other. What do we need to look for? What do we need to even consider with this election?
So let me tell you, first of all, I want to start on the state and I'll move to the national level.
I'm good with that because, I'm just going to say this. Abortion and recreational marijuana are on my top list. Okay. Yeah.
And see, you're just like most Floridians. That's on the ballot right now. The Supreme Court, 5-2, right. They just approved the
recreational marijuana.
Well, but
it's going to be on the ballot.
It's going to be on the ballot. So right. They approved it to go on the ballot, which it's still, that's the threshold. You still got to have a plurality of the voters to push it through. But there were people trying to keep it from even getting to the point where it'd be on the ballot.
Yeah.
But the biggest one is a woman's right to choose. And honestly, they were trying to keep that off the ballot itself, right? And you see disproportionately that women of color are the victim when it comes to the victim of these social determinants of health and poor outcomes.
Yeah.
Right. The women that look like our sisters and mothers and aunties and daughters, these are the women that are suffering from that. So the fact that it's on the ballot, that we are not going to allow a Republican supermajority legislature, Republican governor, and Republican dominated Supreme Court to determine what a woman does with her body, I think is so important. So that's one of the key issues that we're dealing with here. Of course, there's the requisite state Senate race, state House races, those races here. There's also a Florida Senate race. Ironically, I haven't endorsed any candidate. I'm looking at all of the candidates, and I'm going to say it because y'all going to laugh. So I'm going to go on and put it out there because I know how the family is. Uncle Luke brother is one of the candidates.
Wow.
Hey, he definitely getting my vote.
Jimmy, he definitely getting my vote.
Anybody that can say, Don't stop, get it.
It's so funny. Stanley is nothing like Luke, but you can't live it down. Like,
yeah, you can't. That's your brother.
His name is Stanley Campbell. He's a really smart guy. He's a multimillionaire from Miami. His wife is the undersecretary for the Department of Health and Human Services for the U.S., you know, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. To give you an idea of how high up on the food chain his wife is, Anthony Fauci, and the person we knew from COVID, reports to her.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Pretty high up.
Very nice. Yes.
Yeah, and she's a black woman from right here in Florida and from South Florida.
Okay.
Came up the ranks. So Stanley is running Annette Tadeo, who is, not Annette Tadeo. Oh my gosh, there's Debbie Mercosul Powell. That's who it is. Debbie Mercosul Powell, who is running for the Senate as well. She's a former member of Congress, that was defeated when the lines changed. So you'll have those two candidates against each other in August. The primary is in August. The primary is just as important as the November general election.
Gotcha.
And most people keep forgetting.
It's more important.
It's
important.
It's the reason why.
It affects us locally.
Absolutely.
That's right. It's
one of the reasons why you look at what we've got going on here and see that we are having a rematch of the last election. We don't want to keep recycling. Like, I'm not going to do this forever. You know, yeah. I'm certainly looking forward to, and I'll share some of the, you know, later, I'll share some of the victories we've had. But I'm looking forward to doing this work, preparing somebody else to do the work, and moving on.
Yeah.
Going back
and
doing radio and creating stuff, getting back to my podcast and doing those things. But right now, this is work that, you know, I think we haven't had folks that are engaged and really who get it and who are bringing people into the tent that hadn't been in there before.
Yeah.
So voting in that primary election, so key, but absolutely the general election. And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't endorsed anybody in the Senate race here, but at the end of the day, I don't care if Joe Biden was 732 years old with giraffe toes. That is who I'm going to vote for, because I cannot understand how anybody could look at any of the other candidates in the race and compare them and think that, and right now, obviously there's only one candidate, right? The former president.
Yeah.
That person is just not fit for public office. I'm sorry.
And you saw it. You saw what happened. When somebody shows you who they are, you better believe it. And he showed us. He already showed us. He has already showed us.
I'm sorry. I said it. I said it back then, and I will say it again. I, as a woman, Black woman, cannot vote for someone that felt like it was okay to say, just grab her in the pussy.
Yes.
I'm sorry. He lost me then and with a few other things, but that never left me. I don't want to feel like that someone thinks it's okay to violate another woman.
Yeah.
You're not the guy for me. Yeah. And I'm with you, Rothman. Joe Biden could be 187. I have to put my vote where it may do more good than harm. Voting for the pussy grabber is never going to benefit me, my daughter, my daughters, my granddaughter, none of that. So I can't. That's a no for me. Hard no.
Back, let's not even talk about understanding foreign policy, right? Since the last time, and I say this not to brag, I'm going to tell you this. And sometimes, you know, when people say, I ain't saying it to be funny. Yeah, you're trying to be funny. I'm not, if I say I'm saying not to brag, I'm bragging. I ain't bragging. I'm telling y'all this because I want it to be understood that my life has allowed me to look at things from different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. You all know I have degrees in journalism, but since the last time we talked, I now have an earned PhD from Jackson State University.
Jackson State!
Okay!
And I tell you that, not to say I got a doctorate, it's to tell you specifically that I am not only certified, but I use research and what I learned in getting this doctorate as a part of my process. And what I know and understand, even when we're talking about foreign policy, that guy, the former president, is not equipped to deal in foreign policy. Does not know how to negotiate. Does not know how to use the bully pulpit of the presidency of the United States to make the world a better place. In fact, since a big part of the Biden administration has been undoing the negativity that the last administration did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so Rockman, let's talk about the state of Florida. What grade would you give the state of Florida? I mean, all the stuff. Of course, we got our governor here, who he a little bit crazy too. But I mean, with all those, you know, redrawing the districts and things like that, what is Florida? What do we need to look for in Florida?
I'll say, so to answer the first question, I think the grade, I'd give it a C minus to D.
Okay.
And the reason being is, you know, one of the things that I think is most important, diversity is key. Diversity of all places, of all spaces. The legislature is a Republican-dominated legislature, right? Mm-hmm. You can't have a diversity of thought if you're thinking I've got to have a monolithic group that's going to think the same way and vote the same way in the legislature. We've got to diversify that legislature. What does that mean? Coming to the table and voting. It doesn't mean just voting. I had to tell this to the party chair. I am a Democrat. I have no problem with that because the majority of Democrats focus on the ideals that I do. But one of the problems I think that we have is that we think just because somebody has a Democrat or Republican behind their name, that they are the right candidate. we've got to focus on recruiting, training, and preparing the right candidates for these spaces, like being in the Florida House and Senate, right? That's why we have a supermajority of Republicans, because you have people that are just absolutely, for lack of a better term, and I hope you don't believe me on this, batshit crazy, and you put them in there like, well, but they're a Democrat. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You want to have people who are there that are pragmatic, that are listening, that are centrists, that are taking in all the information and then making decisions. So that's one of the things that I have an issue about the state. And then the governor. The governor is way too involved when it comes especially to issues like the Stop Woke. Who wants to stop woke?
Yeah, he does.
Right.
Obviously, he does.
But DEI is not a bad word. I've done extensive research on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And all it simply means is that we have an opportunity to be at least on a level playing field, which, as you well know, due to the vestiges of hundreds of years of former enslavement and institutionalized racism, you're still dealing. And y'all, let me tell you, I deal with it. I see it. And it's less people coming and walking down the road with a hood and a burning cross and a shotgun.
Right.
Or aggressions.
Oh,
it's
implicit
bias.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, and I'm not racist, but this is how I've always done it. So this is how we need to do it. And that ends up being something that hurts everybody. A lack of diversity doesn't just hurt Black folk. It hurts everybody.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I think we need. Now, you also got to give credit where credit is due. And I must say this quickly. I sent the governor a letter from my office a couple of days ago, not congratulating him, but thanking him, thanking the governor. And I know some people were like, why would you thank the governor? You got to give credit where credit is due. It's not a big thing, but it was a big thing for me. The other day, as you well know, for those of us here in Jacksonville, we lost within the last 6 months two people that were very close to me, my family, in my life. One was Denise Lee, Denise Lee, who was a member of this city council. She was the second longest serving member of the Jacksonville City Council. The other was Senator Betty Holzendorf, Black woman was instrumental in reinstituting the Florida A&M University Law School. She put in, she's an Edward Waters graduate like myself. She put in money for all the Black colleges in Florida to get a reoccurring appropriation. She was the first person to do that and made strategic change that we are benefiting from now. When Senator Holzendorf died a few weeks ago, on the day of her funeral, the governor ordered all flags in the state of Florida to be flown at half.
To be flown half staff. I saw that, and that was big.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I had to send him a letter because I believe that that is the right thing to do. We haven't yet figured out how we're going to name or how we're going to honor her here in Jacksonville. Yeah. But I'm working with current Senator Davis, State Rep Kim Daniels, State Rep Angie Nixon, and the entire Duval delegation to see what we can do on both the state and city levels to do something to commemorate Senator Holzendorf, but also Representative and Councilwoman Lee. And so when somebody does something, we got to say, that's the right thing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that to my attention because him getting rid of DEI in like the schools and things like that. So, you're making me look at him a little bit different, but he's I'm still looking at him with a side eye, man.
You better side that eye. You better side that eye.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, Rockman, specifically, because I care about all people. However, I know that my people are in a dry, desolate place, our mindset. Yes. What do we need to know about the voting process? And what to activate, because I too believe that Democrats, Republican, I'm a Democrat, but I rock with some Republicans because they can get the job done. I know what their purpose is, so I'm not biased to, like you said, this person got an R by their name, this person got a D by their name, so put in who we favorable. I feel like that's what we do as a culture. We go with the favorite. Talk to me about what do we need to know now?
So here's the thing. One of the things I think that is so important is that we make a plan. And I know it may seem pie in the sky. Two things I can say, actually. One is make a plan and two, vote early, right? You never know election day what's going to happen. I remember, as you all know, I lost my mom a few years ago. My mom passed on transition a few years ago. And even in her sickness, one of the things, and this, I'm certainly not thinking about counsel, but as my mom was still sick, one of the things that she said, make sure you get my ballot so I can cast it because I don't know what's going to happen. And we've got to have that. So that means she knew what my grandmother went through. You got to remember, my grandmother was born before women had the right to vote.
Wow.
Just think about that for a minute. Yeah. I've had conversations with my grandmother. When I ran for office years ago, I had honestly never planned to do it again, right? Mm-hmm. But when I sat down and talked to my grandmother, I just remember those conversations. And I'm glad I had those moments, right? Back then, of course, my grandmother passed away in 2005. So we didn't have the proliferation of camera phones and videos. So I don't have many things of her talking. But I remember her telling me how excited her mother and aunts were to be able to vote, because that wasn't, they were the children of the formerly enslaved.
Yeah, right.
Their parents were enslaved. That's why when I brought up the doctorate, man, when I look back, I can trace my lineage and parts of my family from here. I am the great, 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 great grandson of an enslaved girl. We don't know her name. We know she was on a plantation in Virginia. And I say girl, not woman, girl, mm-hmm. who was taken by her master.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my line started in America. Now, we're greater than, and I'm sure there was even greater if we knew where it was before we got here. But that little girl, if you all had seen me at graduation, man, I was a ball of tears because I just kept, obviously, you know, one of the reasons my mom wasn't there, but I was thinking, like, how must this little girl have felt being a little girl in a foreign land where she didn't speak the language, and now she's having a baby from a man she don't even know?
Wow.
But look at what was, and look at what became of it. It was an awesome responsibility. Every time I walk in this building, I'm in my office, like I said, right now, this building that I sit in is the former, what was it? Maycoins, I think it was, downtown here.
It was Maycoins.
Yep, Maycoins.
The City Hall at St. James. My mother was brought here by my grandmother to buy dresses. They could not come in the front door. They had a couple dollars,
and
right?
Now you got an office.
My grandmother was a teacher. Wow. They had to bring my mama in the back door at night to spend the same money to buy the dresses that white folk would buy.
Wow, I didn't know that. Didn't know that segregation occurred even in, we know waiting rooms or restaurants, definitely, but even to buy clothing?
To buy clothing. Yeah. You could not shop, even though it's the same dress.
Yeah.
And
I can't even come in the daytime.
Nope.
Yeah.
You had to come at night and enter the back door to buy
in the back door.
And it is visited on me every time I walk into this space.
Yeah.
And I am in this place where there's only 19 or 18 other people who are able to move legislation in the same way, who are able to make change and set stuff. I walk in the front door and they say, good morning, councilman.
Wow.
And I am just so thankful for this opportunity because, you know, who would, could my mother have even thought? And maybe they did. But for me, that's why I'm at other districts that are not just my own. It is a responsibility to be able to say, we took the thing that was messed, kind of like, you know, African-Americans, and Gene, you said it right. It's about black folk for me. I may not live in a traditional black district, but at the end of the day, I am a black man through and through.
Yeah. And Gene, that's right.
I grew up on the 45th Street. What is that? Cleveland Road at the Y, where we was going to summer camp. We all got stories, and you know we got the stories. But I tell you, when I am on the council, yes, I'm a council member. Yes, my district members know that I fight hard for District 14, but I am also very keenly aware of the fact that I'm a black man, and there are certain things that I must champion.
Yeah. Hey, Rock, with you but saying that,
plan. Dean, if I could tell you two things real quick, make a plan, vote early, go to DuvalElections.com, get your mail ballot now. I put in an appropriation very quickly for $85,000. I'm going to be working with and $85,000 may not seem like much, but what I did is carved out 85 grand just to focus on getting people to the polls using non-traditional methods, right? So going on social, making sure that we're using IP address targeting and those non-traditional methods of media, because TV commercials ain't gonna get the people to the polls that we need to get to the polls.
Yeah.
No
one's reading the newspaper in the way that they did, but they are going on Instagram. They are on Twitter and they are on
TikTok
and TikTok. Exactly. Yeah. So I put those funds to the side to focus on getting people out, but go make a plan to vote. And the best and easiest way, DuvalElections.com. You can just register right then and your ballot will be in your mailbox.
Wow.
Nice.
You know what, Rocky? Nice.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You talked about ballot in your mailbox, but if I get the ballot in my mailbox, can I still change my mind and go vote at the polls?
Yes, you can. If you decide
okay. on
election day, they will just, because they have not the ballots or, excuse me, the tabulation systems at the polls are not in any way connected to the internet. Trust me, I've been fiercely working with, you know, checking behind the supervisor, which I think Jerry Holland's doing a really great job. The ballots, but the system that decides if you are a voter or not, when they look up, that is connected to the internet. So real time, let's say you send in your ballot, but you want to vote there, it will say, no, you can't double vote in that way.
Okay.
So I just check that. My thought, though, is just it's a lot easier to do. The only issue, get this now, it used to be because too many of y'all was voting. Too many, I'm gonna be honest, too many of y'all was voting, right? And y'all have figured the system out. So you could go on, register to get your ballot, and then the ballot would come to you in the mailbox, right? And mm-hmm. you could say, I want it to come to me for the next five elections or so. Well, what Republicans noticed that y'all were getting wise and saying, cool, I don't have to go and stop my life. I can still vote. Because of that, you then end up turning around where they made a law in the Florida legislature to wash the entire voter roll. And now each election, you have to go on and request a ballot.
That's crazy.
Okay. I know.
That is crazy.
And that's why
are we wrong to feel like they try to block us at every turn?
You're not wrong because it's more people. That's one of the reasons we end up now with a congressional district. We have Black people in this city are disenfranchised.
Yeah.
We are disenfranchised in the state, in especially in North Florida. They couldn't attack Orlando, too many of us in Orlando, too many of us in Miami. So they came where they could, which was Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So our district used to stretch from Duval County up to Leon County and pick up those in between. And the other part of that is what they would do, because you have to have certain amounts of population, they would pick up the prisons. So you get the population,
wow.
but the people in the population can't do what?
Yeah, can't vote. They can't vote, yeah.
So you can get those numbers right. What we ended up doing and what it kind of, how they made a district that pulled together the entire contiguous city of Jacksonville. Because of that, the reason they did it is because what? Jacksonville usually votes Republican.
Yeah.
So now you have a safe Republican seat. And even when the legislature said, well, that's probably not fair, let's redraw the districts. So they redrew it so it could at least have some power. The governor vetoed it and said, no, we want this district that's going to keep a Republican seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even get and understand that. Like, at the end of the day, you got the power. You in the governor's mansion. Yeah. You got the supermajority of the legislature. Now you just want to be evil.
Now, Rachma, answer this.
I'll say it. You just want to be an ass.
But answer this. I think, and this is what my take, when they start doing all that, was that to stop Corrine Brown?
Honestly, yes.
Redrawing her district or the district that kind of affected mm-hmm. her. Because, of course, she had been there for a long time. And
yes.
she was a power yep. hitter. So they're like, oh, we got that. What can we do to stop her?
To stop her.
Well, not just Corrine, though, but it was, and Corrine, absolutely, because yeah. Corrine was kind of, I just watched the movie Shirley, if you haven't seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that this week.
And you guys know, I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA, so I'm an actor, and I'm you know, part mm-hmm. of that acting community of Virginia.
Hey, we're going to get into that too, Rachma. Don't worry about it.
Well, Regina, I'm still a working actor. Regina, yeah. I love her. My heart continues to go out to her because
the loss of her son.
Yeah.
Yes. I woke up that morning and I saw it and I wrote a poem and it kind of went viral because I just shared it. It was so touching to me. But anyway, Regina, when I tell you she was Shirley Chisholm, she was Shirley.
Yes, she was.
But I look at, you know, Corrine may not be the same way, but she's certainly unbought and unbossed. And yeah. they were trying every way they could to take her out.
Yeah.
And even after she was defeated by Congressman Lawson, there was still a, well, we want that seat. So it wasn't even just Corrine. Think about it. Corrine lost to Congressman Lawson, right? So if it was just about Corrine, they would have left the seat alone. They then went after the seat itself.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's crazy.
Yep.
Before we move on, Rockman.
Wait, before we go anywhere, can I please say something about Shirley Chisholm?
Yes.
What about Shirley?
My mother and so many members of my family are U.S. citizens today because of the message that Shirley Chisholm gave back in, I don't know, the late 60s, early 70s, or whatever. She was speaking to the West Indian community in New York. And she said, so many of you are coming to me and you want me to help you. I cannot help you if you are not a citizen. So her saying that drove a lot of West Indians, Caribbean people to go through the citizenship process. So that, guess what? We vote and it affects us. It benefits us. All of that is one in the same. And I'm here to say, because I grew up hearing my mother talk about it, that if it wasn't for Shirley Chisholm, putting out her campaign, so to speak, was speaking to the West Indians saying, hey, listen, you guys have to become citizens and you have to be able to vote. Or we can't help you.
Chisholm was, I got a chance. So I didn't, obviously I wasn't around when she was running for office, but a lot of people don't know this. When she retired, she moved to Palm Coast.
Really?
Oh,
yes, that's where. Because
that's where a whole bunch of West Indians are. Yeah. But I digress.
There you go. Seriously, she moves to Palm Coast. I got a chance to spend some amazing time with this woman. That, you know, I almost feel Forrest Gumpian in a way. Like I've had some. If I tell you some of the people I've met in my life and the stories and the people I've been around, like I was looking through some pictures the other day, pictures with Desmond Tutu, pictures with Maya Angelou, people that I was just around. Because of my family, and Congresswoman Chisholm was one of them. And just sitting and speaking to her, I remember we had gotten her to come to speak at one of the Urban League luncheons here, and she asked me to introduce her on stage, and it was the honor of my life. I honestly didn't realize at the time, I was young, I was like, oh yeah, you know, Miss Chisholm, yes, and I gave this introduction. As I look back on it, I introduced Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah,
that was history.
Yeah. I was riding around.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
With Desmond Tutu.
Yeah.
That's big.
Cracking jokes with each other. Like this man, and I was looking at me introducing him, and it was like, this was, I'm just so thankful. I could not be more, just, I'm so full of gratitude for this moment. But as it goes back to what I said in the beginning, I believe that God allowed me to have all of those experiences, meet all those folks, just baking the cake. I'm gonna throw in some of this, some of that. So when it gets to the point that the cake needs to be made, it tastes real good.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Hey, Rockman.
That's the beauty of God too, Rockman, because you didn't even know he was making a cake.
I did.
Yep. Didn't know.
You thought it was grits.
I did.
I hope not the ones that I had this morning, though, because they was horrible.
Grits from where, Gene?
Yeah, where did you go? Where?
Look, hey, Rockman, before you came on the phone, we were talking about it because, of course, you know, Crystal's got a good breakfast, especially the one on US 1 in Edgewood. But Gene said he went up there and got the, what's the, where you get the little grits in the little thing with
scrambler.
The sausage scrambler.
Scrambler. Listen, hey, I got it, chill. I'm gonna walk the dog for you. Don't worry about it. Listen, Rodman, they got grandmama in there back in the day. Remember when grandmama used to be back there cooking?
You had
Auntie Brenda with her Crystal's uniform on. Auntie Brenda fine back there.
You gotta tell me.
They got young Miami in there cooking now. And she's twerking on Instagram. That's why the grits. Cause she like this. The grits ain't getting cooked.
I need you to have that little piece, you know, that little piece that hangs right there.
You ain't got that, get out the kitchen.
And you got to walk slow. You can't walk fast with them rubber shoes. They got about that much of a heel. It's a block. God. And then they can't move too fast because they just, it rub when they walk. It's rub.
God.
You know what I'm saying? You let me by.
I let you by.
That is what, and if I see, and that thing hang,
You know that's good food. That's good. Y'all crazy. Y'all are crazy. Yo, Rockman.
G said his whole breakfast this morning was fucked up.
He said it was trash.
I get it. It's so funny you bring up Young Miami and Carisha and all, you know, these people. And I thought back in the day, like, I was like, you know, some stuff. Man, this is be some. I was like.
Yeah.
Hey, are you surprised that this stuff is acceptable?
They make Uncle Luke look like a pastor for real.
They eat some grits. Like, that's all she eat. And that's all we eat is grits. They eat a whole bunch of other stuff and all kinds of And I guess I'm finally into the fact that I'm, you know, the age that
we're older.
Huh?
Rockman, you out the demo,
we're
man.
Older.
We out the demo.
We're out of the demo, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel like Gene is out of the demo, Chill, or you. I feel like we're still cool. We're cool as hell.
Until
we are. I'm here to tell you. We're out of the demo. We're out of the demo.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I listened to a Kevin Gates interview the other day, and by the end of it, I was like,
what did he even say? You felt dirty. Tell him the truth. I felt dirty.
I watched all of this.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed a bath. And then additionally, yep. I'm gonna tell you where my other mind went, because at this age, I'm not married now. So of course, you know, I've been on the occasional date. I will tell you that I'm not interested in it, because for whatever reason, you guys know this, the single guys, Gene, you're out of that demographic now.
Yeah, y'all not in there. Hey, Rockman, it's all on you now, brother.
for the single brothers, it seems like the older we get and the grayer we get, the younger we attract. Wouldn't you say?
That happens. Yep.
I say that,
I'm in this space, and I'm hearing Kevin Gates talking about all this, and I'm hearing Carisha and JT, and in my mind, I'm like, that seemed real tiring. Like,
we don't have that kind of energy. We too old for that. I don't have that kind of energy. I really do not. Okay, I go to bed early. Like, I don't.
I listened to it, and they was like, oh, I spin around and do all this. I'm like, you know what? I got to go to the gym in the morning. I need to get, you know, it's just.
Thank you. You have real shit to do. No. No, we're good.
We are at the demo. But hey, Rockman, once again, our hats off to you, because of course, radio DJ, you were the first Black Ron Burgundy TV anchor in Tallahassee.
That's a fact.
College professor, TV host. A couple of episodes ago, we talked about this whole Nickelodeon thing. You were employed by Nickelodeon. You were a daily host. You had your TV show on there. Did you see any of that tomfoolery shenanigans going on at Nickelodeon when you were there?
Let me tell you why. Kind of similar to what Keenan was saying. We was grown, but there's certain, speaking of demographics, there's certain demographics of folk that you just ain't going to try certain things with. They ain't come up. So I didn't see
Why do you think they put that Black boy off the show? His mama was too involved.
I'm sorry. But even though I was young, I was an adult. I was the first, so I'm told, I was the first African-American host of network programming on Nickelodeon, which was at the time number one network in the country. And I was around the world. I was Nick UK, you know, doing stuff with Nick. I never saw any of that. I knew... But you got to realize, too, a lot of these scripted shows were shot in other places.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were shot on location in other spots. I watched the documentary. I thought, I was like, whoa, it was a lot. But there are some people who, and we all know this, and especially in radio.
Mm.
Now, we all got some friends. I ain't going to say no names, but we know some folk. And they figured that they will do whatever to get whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There are just some of us who are not going to do that. And I don't have to be vocal.
That's true. You know, remember you just said to the effect that people know who to try. So the person that, you know, we've all worked with, they know who to do the debauchery in front of and who not to do it in front of. Because I'm going to let you know, my mama, don't do it in front of me because I'm telling.
You go get snatched. Yeah. Just like what you said earlier about the former president saying, you know, grab him, whatever.
Right.
He knew not to do. Now, come on. Now, can you imagine him saying something like that to Corrine Brown?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay, let's say you might say Corrine may not be his feed, right? She may not be his feed.
That's a perfect example.
Could you imagine him saying it? I'm going to make this up. Can you imagine him saying it? She's older. She's a little different looking. Maxine Waters. Come here. I'm going to grab her. Could you imagine?
No. Nope.
You might say, okay, Maxine's a little older. He may not be into older. He in the younger. That's fine. That's fine. There are certain chicks who may not be famous, but could you imagine him going up to a sister and saying,
especially not just hilarious.
Oh,
hit the bell for that. And I love you, Jess. Hit the bell. Hilarious.
It could be pregnant, Jess. Jess will gut stomp.
Right.
Yep.
Pregnant, Jess.
Yeah. You're not going to disrespect us like that. You're not going to. And we have to view it as that. It is a form of disrespect. And here's my thing on that particular comment that he made. That didn't have anything to do with color. Every woman should have been insulted and offended when you heard that. It don't matter what color, race, ethnicity you are. We all as women should have been offended by somebody saying that that was okay.
Yeah.
If you got a daughter, if you got a mama, because y'all got to have a mama to come here. If you got a daughter, mama, any connected to a woman in any way, you should also be offended because it, and then for them to dismiss it saying, oh, that's just locker room talk. I'm in the locker room.
It's not.
Don't talk like that in the locker room.
Yeah.
Not my locker room. Yeah. Don't talk like that.
And then, what makes me madder about that too, you know, he was talking to Billy Bush.
Right.
That's who he was talking to. So they pulled Billy Bush off the air for like a year, but he's still back on doing it. I mean, it's the same thing. Like it never even happened.
And laughed at it.
Which is like, which is crazy to me.
And I'm not just going to put it on him. Like, y'all know it's a lot going on with, and you know, I don't know. I'm not going to cast aspersions or judge. I mean, we all have our, I too have watched the Jaguar Wright interviews and chuckled and laughed. and others, you know, I'm still a part of the crew. I'm still hip hop. I don't know what Diddy did. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I've been to a Diddy party or two. I ain't stay at the end, like after everybody left, like I ain't finna stay there. You know what I'm saying?
Party on, got to go.
I've been to many parties that celebrities have had, but when I finished, I went home. You know, I went away. I went back to the hotel, wherever I was. I've been to parties at Magic Johnson's house. I've been to parties like that. So I'll tell you, I don't know what went on, but there are some people that I'm learning, and this is I'm taking it away. I don't know what happened, and I'm not going to try to even think about what happened, because I'm not going to take anything away from somebody who believes that they're wrong. But what I will tell you is that there are people who believe that and who will do anything to get to a certain place.
Yep.
And my belief, my understanding, my knowing is that I am where I'm supposed to be. And I don't have to do anything and say anything. And I'll be honest with you. I had a situation when I was coming into Greekdom where I got tried. Mm. It wasn't for me to go and say so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. I simply said to the individual, if this what I got to do to get this, I guess I won't have this.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I knew who I was. I knew who I was. And I think we got to get a better self-esteem. And I think anybody who is going to say, oh, this person did this to me and did that to me, you have a choice. You can say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to be in this space to stay here. So you can even say, oh, I was around when this thing happened. And I think we got to instill in our kids. And unfortunately, it's generational. I know I sound old, but it's generational. It's there's no shortcut.
No.
It's not quick. Put in the work. Do the time.
Yeah. I just posted that yesterday.
You got to put in the work.
I just posted that yesterday. You cannot be, in order to be an overnight success, you have to be an everyday hustler, period.
Come on, brother. Yep. Come on. I remember Professor Edward Waters, she said, vinegar, a cucumber, and a little bit of salt does not a pickle make.
Oh,
it's a long time.
It takes time to make the pickle.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's, you can't sit there. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and think that I could just pour some vinegar on a cucumber, all of a sudden it becomes a pickle. No, but that's what this group thinks. They think there is a way around it. So if I do this thing, if I compromise my integrity, if I do this, doesn't necessarily mean that this is me, but if I do this thing, I can just kind of now say, well, I'll move forward when I get past that.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like I heard, was it Jamie Foxx or somebody was telling the joke? And they was like, if somebody do such and such, and they just say could pay me $1 million, I just buy me some new lips. You know what? It doesn't work like that. It was a joke, but yeah. It doesn't work like that, right?
And no, it don't. Day,
that's one of the reasons why here on council, if I do something that is not proper, which I am not purposefully doing that, because I got to sleep with me at night. Mm-hmm. And I know who I am, and I'm not going to wake up with my mama standing at the foot of my bed shaking her head, you know what I'm saying, grabbing at me.
Right.
Wow. I'm having an African American mom who had to have those moments with me when I needed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I can tell you, when my mother passed, I live in my mom's home now. I took it because I moved in with her. I sold my house and moved in with her when she got, you know, developed cancer.
She got ill. Funny.
My mom, when she passed, I did not go in her room. I didn't use the master bedroom for about 6 months because I know my mama didn't like people in her room. And I was like, I'm not finna be in her room and she decided to come back and I'm in her room.
Even though she's gone.
But it was that kind of
right away.
Respect.
Yeah.
It was that kind of respect.
6 months. After 6 months, I said, well, I guess she's probably not coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, but we gotta have that. We gotta instill that in our kids and let them know that their esteem is you know,
it's important.
Yeah. Like, yeah. All right. Well, look,
Rodman, we know you're busy, man. We thank you for your time, brother.
Exactly. Exactly.
How you laid it down for us.
I want to tell you this real quick. We had some really good accomplishments too, man. There's more to come, but we were able to put, as you know, the film and TV industry is my industry. I put aside $500,000 for the industry. And we've got some major film and TV projects on the way. What that $500,000 does is incentive programs.
Okay.
I've been meeting with producers, folk I know in the industry to bring that in. So that's another part of not just economic development, but there's some amazing talent here. So that's something that's really cool. I'll be sending out to you. I just partnered with the, as an actor, I kind of took some time off to do this, but I feel like I've kind of hit my stride. So I've just finished a volunteer project that I did that's close to me with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention that is running nationally now called Strangers with Colons. I had my first colonoscopy last year, which is so very important.
Okay.
Very important.
As we know, Chadwick Boseman was only 43 when he died from colorectal cancer. And so they're urging, especially African-Americans, to go get tested and get screened. So I'm looking forward. I'll be sending information out about that. So I hope you'll share it with everybody.
Well, listen, we absolutely will, because guess what? Everybody on this
Rockman, they gave you some of that Profival. You had some of that milk, man.
I had that milk, baby. Woo! I was like, ooh.
I'm telling
you. Wait a minute. Woo! So, and you know, I had never been under. I've never had surgery. Yeah. Never been under. So
me neither.
Yeah.
Right?
Me neither. I was. Hey, listen, that's the same thing with me, Rock. I had never been under. I was afraid.
So you know Gerald Butler. Remember Gerald from Reigns? Gerald Butler graduated '94 with me, so it was a year behind you. But Gerald is my frat brother. We've been best friends since kindergarten. So Gerald and his wife were taking me to get the procedure. Well, y'all know I like to eat pretty healthy, and so I, you know, pride myself going to the gym and eating healthy and all that. So I don't remember anything after going down. I don't remember that for the next day or two, right? So Gerald called me the day after and said, hey, man, you good? I said, man, I'm hungry. I didn't eat all day. He was like, yes, you did. I'm like, no. He said, you asked me to stop by Popeyes and get you 3-piece spicy all thighs. And he said, you gobbled it up like it was. And I'm like, no, I don't eat fried chicken like that, like once a year. He's talking about, well, you ate it yesterday.
So I'm still groggy.
Yep.
Bruh. But I'm so excited that this series is national and that we're using this to move that forward. So that's coming out. And as far as the things we're going here with the city, there's a few naming projects. I'm going to share this with you. It is not public yet. But if you ride by the street, you'll see it. I've got several projects I could share with you, but this one is probably the most important to me. I was reading Ray Charles's autobiography. You know, Ray Charles lived here for a time, and I like to read. And so I was reading his autobiography, and it literally listed the address where he lived. And he talked about how much fun and how he grew so much living in Jacksonville. And so for kicks, I put it in my GPS. I get there, and the house is not there, but it was this place. And I just stood there. And I felt like I connected with Ray Charles. The beauty of that moment is I was able to work with city attorneys, with Ray Charles's estate, with his record company and a catalog. We were able to name the street where Ray Charles lived. It is now called Ray Charles Place.
Okay. Nice. Is that in La Villa? Is that in La Villa area? It's in La Villa. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It ends at La Villa School of the Arts.
Okay.
So okay. I haven't announced it like majorly, but I went and just stood there the other day. I'm going to send you a picture. I stood there at the sign, and it was like a moment, man, because I haven't done like the press thing because I'm working on now trying to get Jamie Foxx to come in as we do the official unveiling. So I'll let you
know. Oh, that'd be dope.
I would love to have him on the show and you talk to him.
Yeah. Maybe we could do something live on that day.
Right.
I'm working on it.
Definitely.
So, but to be in that spot and see this, you know, there are things that I'm working now on another piece of legislation that you may not know. And this is a story I didn't know until I got here and started doing more reading. So you got Ray Charles Place. In 1885, there was a black man who was a part of what was called the Volunteer Fire Department here in Jacksonville. This black man he went to fight a fire. Well, there wasn't an official fire department. Well, when he got there, he tried to fight it. The building fell on it. He died. They buried him. This was in 1885. They buried him in Henry Riggins, I think is his name. They buried him in an unmarked grave in the Old City Cemetery where blacks were over to the side. So we don't know exactly where he's buried. We just know he's buried there. Before I got on council, his name is enshrined as the first fireman to die because the next year insurance companies went to the then Jacksonville City Council and said, look, we are not going to insure. And mind you, this is before the Great Fire of 1901. They said, we are not going to insure anything in the city unless you all have a fire department. And back in the 1880s, it was like a new thing. And, you know, we're just over the Civil War.
Yeah.
Long story short, last year they were able to put things in and they have a marker at the Old City Cemetery for him. Mm-hmm. But who among us goes to the Old City Cemetery?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly Confederate soldiers that were passed on and people in that space. What I've done is I'm working now. It's not official yet, but I'm pulling together all the information. Our fire and rescue department here, I'm working to have that building named for that man because his death is what created what we now know as the Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Department. So I've got money for the Greeks, those renaming things. We're doing the work.
All right. Well, Rockman, we appreciate the work you're doing. We appreciate you coming on the show.
And we're here to support you.
Yes.
In any way, because I feel like it is necessary for us. We talked about the primary election. Most people don't think about that. I want to do a little bit more this year than I've done previously or any other year. I want to focus on that. I want people to realize what is on the ballot to vote. We've got to first start with the primary election. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. Okay,
so chill. That's our focus.
All right.
We want to be a part of the community that we live in. Like you said, we do all till we die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't just pertain to the Jaguars. That pertains to other parts and other areas of the city. So,
Jaguars, we're not just giving $1 billion. People think we're just giving $1 billion to a billionaire. The stadium is owned by you. You own the stadium. The stadium. It's owned by us. I'm not. People are like, well, why don't you just sell the stadium? You want to sell one of your most valuable assets?
Yeah.
You'll never buy the stadium again if you sold it. You got a riverfront stadium. They don't have those. They don't make those.
Yeah.
So we don't do the work that it takes to do the stadium. As long as we don't raise taxes, I'm okay with us doing the renovations to make that stadium world class so we end up with a multi-billion dollar economic generator over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Rockman, let me ask you this. The newness of downtown, the infrastructure that they're putting in with that, what's the timeline?
It's It's probably going to be about another 3 years. As you know, the city of Jacksonville just got, and I'm really grateful for this, $147 million grant from the Biden administration. It's real good to have friends in the White House, right? And in Congress.
Yep.
$147 million. It goes into the Emerald Trail, which is going to run over there by Will, your dad's church, my property where my grandmother was, all of those areas. It's going to connect in downtown. I've been a huge part of the La Villa Heritage District. I sat on this committee before I was elected. Now I've been able to appropriate some funds. We're going to do, you'll see the La Villa Gateway Project come about where La Villa is going to be highlighted. I say that because it's really important that we understand the African-American contribution to this city. But downtown is growing. There's more people coming down. I just looked at two loft projects that are coming. I really like lofts. So I saw two amazing loft projects that are on the way. There's this Pearl Street Corridor project, the Laura Street Trio. There's going to be the new soccer stadium that's out east. I mean, there's a lot, and all that's going to connect to downtown. And downtown has I have a really great partner on this council in Jimmy Peluso. The interesting part is District 7, which is now what downtown is a part of, runs from Springfield, picks up the stadium, and it runs through downtown and then goes to Avondale, Riverside, and then Ortega, right?
Oh, wow.
My district butts up against that and goes south to the Clay County line. But the thing is, they also included Springfield, parts of the African-American areas, Newtown and Edward Waters, part of that District 7, Durkeyville. The reason I bring that up is because those areas don't fit. You can't compare, Ortega to Durkeyville. It just don't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Right? But I have a great partner on the council in Jimmy Peluso, because Councilman Peluso is really committed. He's just a good guy. And he is, really committed to doing the work. And so even though Durkeyville is a very small part of his district and Edward Waters and other areas, when I have said, hey, Jimmy, not on legislation, I just want to show you Edward Waters, right? All I had to do was ask. He jumped in the car and went to an Edward Waters basketball game with me.
Wow.
That's a big thing. You know, my grandmother, I went to Edward Waters. My grandmother graduated from that school in 1920. And so that's
Bull's mom graduated from EWC.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Listen, in her yearbook, she's listed as part of like the foreign exchange student program. Because again, my mother's from Jamaica. It was only her and three other people. It was four people in the club. The foreign club is what they were. But listen, my mom is in there. We have the yearbook to prove it. And the family, because you know that's how family do. They have never let my mama.
That's right. That's right. Your mama was over there at EWC.
It's now Edward Waters
University. It's EWU. Yeah.
Right. No. It's always going EWC. For me, it's going to be EWC. But yes, we have talked about EWC for the 10 years we've been doing this podcast. Have we not?
Yes, we have. And Rotman, dig this. I think her mom was the first Kappa sweetheart. I missed that.
I see you, sweet. Your mama said, what's good,
Go ahead on, Miss Claudia. this is another black.
We gotta do this again.
Another Let's Black History Month.
Yes.
We gotta come back. Man, I love, when I say this, and I mean this, I love everybody on this show. Y'all are my family. I've known you, like I said, for decades. Please keep me in prayer. Like, your positive thoughts and prayers, this ain't easy. And all that we do behind the scenes, you don't see it. And sometimes I am just sitting here with my head in my hands like, what the hell? But when I walk out of that door, I make sure that I'm representing you. My head is held high. I'm doing things integrous. And I make sure that even if I have an issue, I do it with class. Even though if somebody comes to me with garbage, I'm going to meet them with class. So you're going to look, as my grandmama would tell me, if you arguing with the fool, when somebody passed by, they can't tell.
They don't know.
They can't tell the difference.
That's right.
Yep.
They can't tell the difference. I don't know what was going on the other day, but I could tell it was a big win when you and your partner had the dance routine. I don't know what they just tackled, but boy, they got that dance routine. I don't know who ass they just tackled.
But that was a celebration dance.
But there was a celebration outside of City Hall.
Look, I'm gonna tell you, I am.
They don't hit the bell.
I'm not traditional. I the Tshwala bomb.
Rockman, we do not want you to be traditional, because guess what? We've all had to change with the times.
Yep.
Absolutely.
What the way that elections were back in the day, like, I'll just say this. We started out talking about this. My mom is just a Democrat. She run. This is what she says. This is her quote. I run a straight Democratic ticket. She don't care. She's not doing the research. She is just.
That's a lot of power voters, though. That's a lot of super voters. And we have to acknowledge that. Not only do we have to engage our young voting audience, because thank God for Jimmy Johnson, reigns principal longest standing. I know where you lay, Rockman. I get it. Yes. I know you're 3701. But the one thing that I can appreciate about Jimmy A. Johnson, when we were 18, when we were seniors, he registered all seniors to vote.
Yes, he did.
And he registered all seniors to vote. And by the time you turned 18, when you were ready to graduate, you were ready to vote. I voted ever since I was 18 years old. You understand the responsibility from it, but you also have to be educated on how to.
Yep.
It was a rite of passage, Jimmy. I mean, and I got to go. Even though.
Okay, so watch this. Watch this. Rockman, what's the first year that you voted?
1994.
He had just graduated.
Just graduated. Yep.
But my first vote was 1992.
Wow.
Graduated.
And
my first vote was for Clinton.
I love it.
And guess what? My middle son, he turned 18 last year, but this year will be his first, major election.
Major election.
Mm-hmm. And all that. Listen, it's important in my household for us to talk about that. My mother has talked about it for generations or for years. So I have to continue. We have to keep talking about this. Don't let the young people think that voting, it doesn't even really matter. It's all rigged. Listen, there's 1,000 conspiracy theories out there, but this is about something different. Let's teach our young people that we didn't always have this opportunity to vote.
And like Mr. Johnson, I got to say, I'm obviously blue and white to John Reball Senior High School. But interestingly enough, and I made the joke, my mama went to Reigns. But the funny part is I was in all AP classes, and the way it worked, I took my morning AP classes at Reball, but my afternoon AP classes with Ms. Tunstall and those other folks were at Reigns.
Oh, is that Reigns?
And so we would switch. So the Reigns AP students who took the morning AP classes at Reigns would go to their afternoon AP classes at Reball. So we have a running joke because it's all family.
Family, yeah.
And it's until that week in November, we good.
That's it. We good. And Robin, I saw you on the sideline at First Coast. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to bother.
I'm not even going to bother. Sure that we remember all of those folk. I will tell you, Mr. Johnson registered you. I was registered by a man, and he would come to Reigns too, Lloyd Pearson. So Rutledge Pearson, who the school is named for, that used to be Sherwood Forest, 6th grade center.
Right.
His brother, Lloyd Pearson, who ironically, I have his picture on my Facebook page. He died in December at the age of 103. He was a very quiet man, very soft-spoken. He spent most of his life as a letter carrier. Mr. Pearson came and sat in the cafeteria at Reball at 17 and a half, which is when you can officially register. He sat there and registered us. That's how I got registered to vote. And so I had the great opportunity. I was the MC. I still do some entertainment stuff. I try to, do as much as I can get in the schedule, but I was the MC for the NAACP Freedom Fund luncheon in November last year. November last year. Mr. Pearson was there. And I had just defended my dissertation, gotten the doctorate, had been elected to office, all in this space. And I went and sat with him. There's a wonderful picture of me sitting with him. And I let him know that I'm the product of you. And so I got, and he was in his right mind. He was like, he said,
hit the bell, chill.
It was a moment. And for me to be able to tell him thank you, having achieved some things.
And I feel that.
I am in the process right now of just introducing some legislation. As many of you know, letter carriers are under attack in many ways in this country. We've had some unfortunate incidents in my district and other places. I've just introduced legislation to support national legislation that will strengthen the laws that if you attack a letter carrier, you will go to prison and you will have heavier fines against you. Yeah. There's a $7 billion.
As it should be.
That's good.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
Well, there's a $7 billion bill. And my thing is, like, why are you attacking the letter carriers?
Right. They don't got nothing to do with your mail, right, man. They ain't got nothing to do with it. They just bringing it to you.
But they're attacking them and taking, like, even the, like, there's a infrastructure hardening bill for $7 billion right now in Congress, like, over, I think it's 6-7 years that you did would harden them, make sure that their mailboxes are digital, things like that. But here's my thing, man. I'm not saying that it's right, but back in the day, there was, like, checks coming in the mail. Don't nobody send no checks like
no
that.
More. Yeah, it don't even happen like that. Yep.
So, but I'm proud that I just introduced that legislation. Looks like it's going to pass, and I'm doing that in honor of to support protecting our letter carriers. And so we're going to be working to make sure that JSO and other law enforcement agencies, FDLE and others, are doing their part to, until that federal legislation comes about, to step up to the plate so we can protect those people that are doing that last kind of vestige of, there's some people that still write letters, and you know what? As long as we can protect it, we should.
We should.
Absolutely. I agree. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. My boy got his boots on the ground. That's real work right there.
Yep. Yeah. Rockman, we appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. We know you got stuff to do. Go ahead and get your work done and lean back in your cream chair. Lean back in your cream chair. That Corinthian
you
level.
Do realize, I got to tell you this real quick, man. You realize I'm such a nerd. I'm always researching. Remember, you're saying some people, especially young folk, like my, come here, Chase. I want them to see you. Come here a minute. So, Chase, I got to ask him this on camera. Do you know what rich Corinthian leather is?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you this. Remember when, and Chase was, he just graduated. Let's give him a, can we ring the bell for him? He just graduated.
Yeah.
Edward Waters.
He was one of my journalism students. He's an amazing writer. He's with me for years, and now, you know, he's my chief of staff here. But, so you've never heard of rich Corinthian leather, right?
No.
So Ricardo Montalban would say, there was a commercial for, what was that car, y'all, back in the 70s? Was it the Yugo or something, but he had this voice, and he would say, this is the car with the rich Corinthian leather. So everybody wanted a car with rich Corinthian leather. There is no such thing as rich Corinthian leather.
It sounded good.
And so there was this research done. They found that there is no such thing, but everybody was buying the car.
But it sounds elegant, though.
It does. Very elegant.
So now we have this white, rich Corinthian leather.
It's cream. Remember, it's cream.
It's cream. I'm sorry. Cream.
That's right. Yes. That's it. Crimson and cream. You see it.
Crimson and cream. Wow. Crimson and cream.
Wow.
Don't mess that up.
Head to the next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, appreciate it, Rockman. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rock.
Thank you, brothers.
Man, oh man, look here.
Listen, I appreciate being able to call a political official.
Yes.
At the drop of a dime, yes. Be able to ask the questions that we want to ask about our local community.
Yes.
We got somebody on speed dial.
We do.
He know people in places.
Yes, he does.
Book, you know, we're on the road now. We had Rockman this week. Book, can you get your mama to come on the podcast, please? We need to talk to your mama.
Book, like you really, Book, you really bugging about that. I don't know what the problem is, but y'all work that shit out, man.
Yeah.
Get moms on. Get moms on that. Wait, hold on. Are those Easter eggs still in the back?
Hey, Easter was only like 2-3 days ago.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, look, let me tell you something.
I'm not gonna care to do it. I'm not gonna care to do it.
Yeah, we can't. Anyway, Boog, we got to get your mom on here. Yeah, she can talk about how she grew up in Trenchtown next to Bob Marley.
The Shirley Chisholm story.
Yeah, but then your mom. No, I thought then your mama babysit Chapa Ranks when he was little. When
right. I know
your mama got stories.
I think it was Cutty Ranks.
Your mama got stories.
Don't do that, Gene. Don't do that.
I think it was Cutty Ranks.
Your mama got stories.
Cutty Ranks or Chapa. I know I want bigger rankings, but it was one of the rankings.
Boog, let's get your mama on here. First lady of the shower posse. Let's get her on this show. Okay? Let's get her on. Booyaka! Booyaka!
Hey, you know what? We just had the most awesome show. We were so adult. We were so professional, political, all of that. And the minute he is off the line, let me tell you
what my mom used to do. Suck out. But when company come, company leave, she bite the cussing us out.
Okay, so that's what we do. This is family.
I could be arguing in my house. Like, we ain't never had no argument. But when they leave, back at it.
Yeah. When they leave, we arguing again. When they leave, we arguing again.
Yeah, we family.
Family episode 190. Tell your friends, send the link out. Of course, follow us at Family Radio. You can get to all of our socials from that social media address and just tell your friends about us, okay? That's all we want you to do. Shout out to Rahman Johnson. His is at R-A-H-M-A-N-J. Once again, City Council District 14, definitely doing his thing. And
I see you, Boog.
Go ahead and hit us, Boog. Take us out of here, Boog.
It's the family.
The Family Radio Podcast with T Boogie, Gene.com, and Chill Will.